Hi, I'm Dave Crane from Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Do you ever worry about the fact that your message doesn't get out to enough people, or you're scared to deliver it? When you're in front of a camera or in front of an audience, your throat dries up and suddenly you go, ah. Well, get rid of all that. I can help you. Through personal coaching, I can make you one of the best speakers in the world. We'll create a message all around you. We'll create a presentation that is foolproof and everybody's going to love. And I'll teach you everything you need to control an audience and get every single message you want across straight into the back of their heads, into their subconscious, so they take action and send you cash. Sounds good? Well, let's start working on that right now. Contact me at dave@thelifedesigners.com and together, let's turbocharge your brand too. Welcome back to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. I'm Dave Crane. In this episode, we'll be sharing with you what you need to do and what you don't need to do to get to turbocharge your own personal brand. Do you have the image? Do you need to make changes? Or can you keep it exactly as it is? We'll find out from the plastic surgery expert, Dr. Sanjay Parashar. Plus, the one thing that you need to have in your business, in your mindset, to get you to where you need to be. We're going to give you 10 reasons why you need it. What is it? Assertiveness. Being pushy. Why? Why should it be pushy? That's not a nice thing to have in business. It's essential. We're going to give you 10 reasons why. And on top of that, we're going to be profiling a hero, a heroine of mine, Adele. One of the biggest and most successful stars of all time in music. 6 Grammys at the last awards, and she still decided to take a break of 5 years. Bye. See you later. Well, let's find out more on this show. This is Turbocharge Your Brand TV. To look at your online game. Now, if you're on social media quite a lot, you also know that when you're not on social media, you think you're missing out on something. You're thinking, well, have I got to go on Facebook, tweet, or go on YouTube, or even check on my messages on LinkedIn? Well, it's very simple. You don't have to be on all the time. The more you are on, the more you can annoy people if they're taking your feeds or taking your bits and pieces, because not everybody wants to read what everybody's doing all the time. You just have certain people that you're interested in, and you can also alter your feed on Facebook and so on, so you have a bias towards certain people. You can block others at the same time. So how often should you be on? Well, very simply, I believe that you can be on 3 times a day and get all the messages that you need across to people. For me, I do it 3 times. I do it over coffee when I'm having breakfast. I also do it over lunchtime or in between meetings. And I do it later on at night after my evening meal or when I get back just before I settle down in the evening. That's it. By doing that, I affect all 3 of the time zones I need to access. I can access the UK and the Europe. I can get access to people in the Middle East where I'm based in Dubai. And also, when I do things over on the on an evening, then I'm reaching America in the early morning breakfast as people are just getting up. That's the different times I can tell by the responses I'm getting back from people. So you don't have to be on social media all the time. You just need to plan it properly, and that's all. Last couple of episodes, we've been talking about different ways to really boost your sales, and this is a super way of doing it. It's called the Imagine If or the Imagine When Close, and it uses NLP, hypnosis, and lots of other mind-changing techniques. You don't have to be an expert, you just have to follow my directions on this. Imagine you're sitting with a client, and you've been going through all the presentation, the sales, the figures, the testimonials, blah, 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 the PowerPoints, and they're sitting there with their arms folded, still not buying it. This is what you say. Imagine if in 6 months you've already bought it and you had to tell yourself some advice about what a great experience you're having. All your clients love it, you're saving money left, right and center, and everything that I said is a benefit is already working for your company. What would you say? Now, the phraseology that I've used there isn't quite so important. Imagine if, imagine when, doesn't matter. The point is you point them at 6 months in the future when they've already bought it. In order to answer your question, they have to imagine already overcoming their objections and having bought the product. That's 50% of your battle plus plus already done. They've got to then come back and tell you, oh, I didn't want it, I felt really bad about it. It doesn't matter what they say, you're imagining buying it. And that means they've already crossed over that arm folding hurdle that you're dealing with right now. Get them to visualize it, to feel about it, talk about how great the product would be, and then close them. ask them, is there anything that's stopping them from buying it right now, knowing how good it's going to be in the future? And I guarantee their objections will come right down to almost zero. And then, you just got to close them. Very simple. That's a great way to really boost your sales and turbocharge your brand TV. It's time for the big interview here on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. And it's with the author of the book, The Skin I'm In, Dr. Sanjay Parashar, who's a plastic surgeon based in Dubai. Now you're saying, what's plastic surgery got to do with turbocharging your brand? Well, you ask somebody who goes for plastic surgery why they go. Okay, some people go because they're disfigured and they need to have things altered. Some people want to lose weight or sculpt their body. But what's behind that? Self-esteem, confidence, changing their appearance on the outside to change their appearance on the inside. And in many cases, Dr. Sanjay has to turn around and say no. Because it doesn't matter what plastic surgery you do on somebody, it's not going to change the way they feel about themselves. In many cases, they shouldn't have anything done. They just need to go and have a look in the mirror and be happy in their own skin. So how do you turbocharge your brand? What should you think about when it comes to your appearance? Let's find out from the expert, Dr. Sanjay Parashar on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
I think definitely it increases the confidence level, the presentation changes, the way they present themselves changes. And it's the whole aura around them changes, and I think it's a very positive attraction, and definitely that would attract more business for them.
Have you found people though that are deluding themselves about what they need to have done, that they're thinking that by doing stuff on the outside is going to affect on the inside, and in some cases that's not going to happen?
That is true. I mean, it doesn't happen in all the cases. You need to be very selective about this. That's where we have to counsel very, very carefully. There are things which are physically visible, a bit of change can make a significant difference. But there are bits where physically there is not much, but it's causing a lot of psychological issues. No matter what you do, it's not going to change the confidence of that person at all. Because the problem is not the physical bit, the problem is deep inside. And that's where probably maybe more of mental coaching or psychotherapy or those kind of treatment will help.
So for somebody who's interested in doing something and they're considering plastic surgery as a way of boosting their own personal brand or their own self-esteem, what questions should they be asking themselves before they actually get something done?
I think the most important question is they need to see the problem that they think that they have. I mean, there is a problem that they may perceive which may not physically exist, so they really need to look at themselves and see that problem is existing. Second, is there a simple way to be with that? Is there a way to get around that and build the confidence? You know? If it is possible, why not? Go for that. If it is not possible, then the best thing to do is to consult a friend, you know, who can share the concerns and basically agree to him whether the problem persists, exists or not, and then finding a person, a therapist or a counselor or even a surgeon to identify the problem.
It's Turbocharge Your Brand TV and time to look at your inner game. I want to look at one word. This single word will help you transform your business by your mindset and create a complete difference to the way that you impact on the world outside. It'll boost your finances, your return on investments, and get everybody to want to work with you inspired by your direction. What's this word? Pushy. Or another word, assertiveness. Become pushy and become assertive in your business. And you're saying, oh no, but that's horrible. I hate pushy people. I hate assertive people. And that's not really me. I'm honest with my clients. Well, maybe you have to be, because you don't have a regular wage that comes in guaranteed because you're always turning up because they love you. They're doing it and they're paying you because you do a certain thing. When they have to pay you for a service or production or anything like that, they're doing it because they believe you're at the top of your game. They want you to be pushy on the outside, if not directly with them, and if you are with them, it proves you're already doing it. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you need to be more pushy in your business. First of all, to get noticed. Nowadays, you can Google anybody in any subject, in any industry. You need to be found, and part of that means pushing yourself online, with people, in conversations, on LinkedIn, get those testimonials, push them to get referrals, push them to get your details online, because then you will be more noticed. Get noticed in every single business by being more pushy, more assertive, and even if people don't like it, they're going to admire you and respect you for caring so much about what you do. Number two. Get pushy when it comes to going to networking events. If you want to be effective, you want people to remember who you are, you need to push them for contact details, for business cards, for dates when you're going to talk next, and also for what you can do for them and what they can do for you. If you don't get noticed, you won't be used. The guy next to you or the girl across the road from you who's having that conversation instead of you will get all that business. They'll be remembered and you won't mean anybody. So be pushy, be assertive, don't offend people, but sometimes that works as well. Just push yourself to a point where people say, I need to work with that person, so you can't be ignored. Don't offend, zip out at the right time, but get noticed. Number three, inspire innovation amongst your friends or amongst your team by being pushy. Some people follow leaders, other people want to be leaders, but the thing is, you lead by example. If you've got a really good idea, a really good product, or something that you want to get out to the outside world, push it, be assertive, say how great it is. Get the guys in your team to follow you. It makes a big difference to them and also can really boost your business. Number four, help clients by being pushy and assertive. What do you mean help clients? They're going to be offended. Your client is there to get respect, customer respect. No, think about it from the point of view of a life coach. What does a life coach do? They ask better questions. They hold the mirror up, just like a journalist, and they ask you, what are you going to do about it? Do the same with your clients. Be honest. Most people don't ever do that. Challenge them. Don't offend them. Not talk about winding them up, but ask them better questions than you've ever asked before. Be pushy. Be assertive. Get them to question who they are and what they do, and they too will have an epiphany about what they've got to do with their business and will thank you because it's a natural reaction of working with you, and that's what creates long-term relationships. Number five, in teamwork, be pushy. Be pushy to get results that you want. Sometimes when it comes to business, people don't do that. They try and keep the status quo. Well, the status quo is working for somebody else's business. It might not be working for you. When you start getting pushy, then things change. So how do you do that? Well, you're having a debate, and you're sitting around with your team and wondering how to work things out. You've heard of a devil's advocate. A devil's advocate is somebody who turns around and says, no, I don't think that's true, even if it might be true, just to get the conversations going. Be the devil's advocate, or be the angel's advocate. Sometimes for a really bad idea, champion it. Back the person to see if there's any actual value in what it is that they're saying. Be pushy, be assertive, upset the apple cart, and get the best out of your team. Because most people don't. They leave good ideas lying on the table, somebody else picks it up, runs with it, and you spend time going, I wish I'd thought of that, or I wish I'd done something about it. When you're pushy and you're assertive, you take it to that level. Number six, drive changes. When it comes to being pushy, what it also means driving the change in your business, or that change in you, or that change in mindset. If you don't push it, nobody else is going to champion it, so push it. If you want to change the world, if you want to get rid of racism, if you want to make people vegetarians or reduce the amount of time and energy and money that they waste on fossil fuels, drive that change by being assertive. Get noticed. Let people know your conversation is going in that direction. If you don't do it, then we'll do what they want to do, which is ignore you, and that's doing no good to anybody. Sometimes they don't know how good something is for them until somebody pushes them, and they'll thank you for it later on. Number seven, drive your integrity and your belief system. Drive it onto people, drive it internally as well. When people see that you're 100% in your own zone and you believe everything that you're talking about, they will respect it even if they don't believe it. But it's amazing how many people haven't really got an opinion, but they're happy to follow the loudest voice of the person whose conviction seems strongest. So drive it yourself internally, back your ideas. Because what are you going to do? One day you might have 1 hour left on this planet and you'll turn back and say, you know what, if I tried really harder, I might have got better results. Get your results now and make it natural for you to push. The more you push, the better results you're going to get, and the more you'll save on the energy that you have to do later on. Number eight, use your assertiveness to champion the safety and well-being of people around you. If you're the safety officer on a power plant, if you're not assertive, then people are going to cut corners financially and in terms of safety, and you're going to end up with people being killed. Now, I'm not saying that your job is as dramatic as that, but in many ways it is. Your own personal well-being, your family, your friends, your colleagues, all comes down to somebody with a loudest voice who cares about everybody. That's how the trade union started. And whatever your opinion is of the politics of being in a trade union, at the end of the day, they had the best interests of their people at heart. in terms of being pushy, you wouldn't want anybody to be in charge who doesn't seem to care or can't get their message across. That's why you need to be pushy as well, in terms of creating well-being and safety for all those around you. Number 9, you need to be pushy in terms of creating effective communication. You need to be able to say what you need to say, not pussyfoot, not mess about, not say half-truths. Tell them what you mean. Tell them exactly what you mean. That way they'll get the message across faster. As well as being pushy and assertive, become very good at phrasing exactly what you mean. Talk in terms of sound bites. Talk in terms of the exact truth and what you want people to pick up with. And they will get that. That starts in your own head. The more you generate the ideas that you want to get this out to people, the easier it will be to deliver. And the last thing, number 10, the reason why you really need to concentrate on being pushy and assertive is you know how good you are and what you do. Wouldn't you like to get there faster? If you don't push yourself and let people get out of the way on your way, then it could take you an extra 10 years or it might never happen at all because somebody more pushy steps in front of you. Now there is a system, being British, I'm used to queuing. I believe that if I wait, then by the time it comes to the front of the queue, I will get what's owed to me. But in truth in business that rarely happens. What tends to happen is whoever pushes fastest, gets to the front, gets a contract from the best client, and that client can only pay for it once. And by the time you reach there, and you've been waiting in the office, or waiting in the waiting room to see the client, business is already gone. So that's what you need to do. You need to start finding assertiveness and being pushy for all the right reasons, to help the people around you, to help yourself, and to help your noble cause in life, whatever it is. If you sit there twiddling your thumbs waiting for things to come to you, they're never going to happen. That's how you turbocharge your brand. The number one thing, start being pushy with Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Time for Ask Dave on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. And Emily Banks asked the question, Dave, how often should I be going to networking events? Should I be going every single day? Should I go once a week? Which ones should I choose? Well, Emily, there's no simple answer to that. It's all about the effectiveness of the networking that you're going to. Now, the better you become at doing networking, we've talked about this on other shows before, the more effective you are, whether you travel with networking partners who talk about you, bring referrals back faster for you. All these are real factors in why you should go to networking events, but don't go all the time. Okay, you want to be out there and you want to be visible, but are you really extending your work day that much so you end up turning up and you're tired and you're really boring and you're depressing everybody so nobody wants to talk to you? If you're single, I guess it's easier. If you've got a family, then you've got other reasons that you want to get back home, or maybe reasons that you want to stay out. It all depends on you. Think about in terms of, are you effective at your events? Are you going there, getting what you want, and leaving with contacts, and are you able to follow up? Do you end up with too many business cards because you've been to 3 events that week and you don't follow up with anybody? I would say if you've got a new direction and a new potential load of business that you can work on, that's your event for that week. Also, look at the behind-the-scenes stuff, your own work-life balance. Why are you going to work in the first place? Why would you go to a networking meeting to extend that bit of work? Are you doing it because you've not got anybody at home that you want to spend quality time with? Are you doing it because you haven't got a hobby? Are you doing it because you don't spend quality time with your friends instead? Work-life balance. It's not just about making the money. Sometimes you can end up being frustrated and not making the effectiveness in cash in your business that you really need to do because you're so tired and so bored and so bogged in, you don't even know what a weekend is. It's the end of a week. It's a time for you to take a break. So that's around the houses a bit as to when you should really go to a networking event. I think you should be cherry picking the very best ones. The ones for your industry are the ones that will take you one step further, and go to that event with a plan in mind. Go in, get what you need, and get out. Don't become a junkie of networking. It's important to do it right, but it's not important that everybody turns up at an event, turns around and knows that you're going to be there, because they all turn around and say, that person hasn't got a life, and guess what they're going to do? Last thing they're going to do is do business with you. Why? Because it's obvious that you've got something wrong. You've got too much spare time in your hands. So, I hope that helps, Emily. Didn't mean to insult you. I just wanted to say that it's very important to cherry pick the right kind of events to go to. If you've got a question for me at Ask Dave, just ask the question at dave@thelifedesigners.com. You'll get a copy of the Jump and Grow Wing system, and also you get a mention on the show as well, and maybe you'll get some great contacts out of that as a result. More of this next week on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. And now to charge your brand TV, it's time to profile a superstar in the music world. We're talking about Adele. She had a huge album at the age of 19 called 19. Another even bigger one at the age of 21 called 21. This album was so big, it yielded 3 top 10 Billboard number ones, which also stayed in the top 10 all at the same time. She was also able to walk away with 6 Grammys and walk away from a career at the top of her game in showbiz and say, I'll be back in 5 years. Whether she actually does that or not, I don't know, because the pressure will be there to deliver another album, at least called 23. She's brilliant at what she does. I know you've heard her music. And now, let's have a look at the woman behind the voice. This is Adele on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
This British singer-songwriter knows that sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you.
Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're taking a look at the musical origins of Adele. Adele Lori Blue Adkins was born May 5, 1988 in Tottenham, London, England. She fell in love with singing at a young age, but only began to seriously consider music when she was a teenager. Adele was soon accepted into the Brit School for Performing Arts and Technology, where she developed her musical interests. During this time, a friend uploaded her demo onto the social networking site MySpace. It soon generated enough buzz to catch the attention of independent record label XL Recordings.
You can find him sitting on your doorstep.
In 2006, she began supporting other artists as an opener. Thanks to these shows and the release of the single Hometown Glory, Adele became a headlining act by 2007.
From my hometown.
XL Recordings released Adele's full-length debut, 19, in the UK in early 2008. The pop soul record was a very personal effort that spoke of lost love and relationships. The mostly positively reviewed album premiered at the top of the UK charts and contained the top 2 UK hit, Chasing Pavements. She followed the UK release by embarking on her first concert tour, An Evening with Adele. When the album was later released in the United States, it only charted within the top 60. However, things turned around after Adele appeared on the late night television show Saturday Night Live that fall. This exposure to the American public helped 19 reach the 11th position on the Billboard 200 chart. And the next year, the album won 2 Grammy Awards.
You say it's all in my head, and the things I think just don't make sense.
2011 saw the release of her sophomore effort, 21. Inspired by the end of her relationship with an older man, the deeply introspective disc dealt with the singer's emotions throughout the experience.
Baby, I have no story to be told, but I've heard one on you, and I'm gonna make your head burn.
Characterized by a pop sound with soul and country influences, 21 also featured touches of jazz, gospel, and rock. The album topped the charts in multiple countries, including the UK and the US, and became one of the best-selling albums of the year. Critics were mostly favorable towards the record and placed their praise on its production as well as the strength of Adele's voice. 21 contained the number one US singles, Rolling in the Deep and Someone Like You.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Notable shows that year included her appearances at the Brit Awards and the MTV Video Music Awards. In March, Adele began the Adele Live Tour in support of her second album. Though her performances were well received and many of them sold out, she was forced to reschedule some and cancel others due to health issues. Much of Adele's appeal comes from her powerful voice. Her more subdued image in comparison to the flashier artists of the day and her ability to blend different genres into her sound adds to that appeal. And if she continues to believe in and develop her music as well as she has done in the past, Adele is sure to continue her success time and time again.
Do you ever stop and think, how did it happen so quickly? Obviously, you know you're talented, you must have known you had that talent, and maybe you didn't know you had the talent for writing songs, but that's developed and you've honed that. But do you stop and think, this has been so quick, how did this happen like this, where I am right now?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I am pretty oblivious to everything. Like, I'm not very in touch with the kind of the fame side of it. I don't chase none of that, and to be honest, it doesn't interest me at all, any of that stuff. Like, I was at the VMAs the other day, and it was a good night out, but I felt pretty out of place and kind of wished I was at home with my
girlfriend. Where did you go to? Where were you?
What do you mean?
Where did you said you were out? You said where were you at?
The VMAs.
I see.
Video Music Awards.
Yeah, I see the VMAs. But you see, you say that, you know, the rest of us, we don't go to the VMAs. So, you know.
Oh, you know the VMAs is, don't you? But you're old. See, it's the young'uns in the crowd now.
Anyway. You're not with anyone at the moment, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm always single.
But you're not always single.
No, I just say I am.
Yeah. Do you like being single? You'd rather
be
with someone?
I hate being single.
But it must be hard, I guess, if you're touring, if you're travelling, and now that you're getting better known, it must be hard to meet people.
Yeah, it's really hard, actually.
And also, there's the double-sided thing, I guess, that the last two albums, if I might, 19 and 21, are both about relationships that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I guess the next guy's thinking, I just send one dodgy text, that's it, I'm album fodder.
To be honest, I got a bit burnt back in May, around my birthday as well, and I know that he'd be over the moon if I wrote a record about him, but no way is that Brer getting a record about him.
That's pretty good.
Right?
That's good. Don't you
satisfied. No way. He would rise that wave forever. That's how much of a dickhead he is. He would rise that wave. What camera am I on? Get a life, you idiot.
And that's it for this week on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. I hope you've got lots of really good stuff to get your teeth into and start working on between now and the next episode. And on the next episode, we've got some even better things for you as well. We'll be looking at how to build up your career so you can shoot up the career ladder and get the job description that you truly want and all the accolades and finances that go with it. We'll be talking about executive coaching with Ilza Mulder from Results Coaching. I'll also be sharing with you 10 other things that you really needed to know about life but nobody ever told you. They didn't tell you in school, your parents didn't tell you, your work colleagues didn't tell you, and your boss never told you. Why? Probably because they didn't know. But I'll be sharing those 10 things with you next week. How important are they? Well, I reckon if you know exactly what I'm talking about, you'll agree. You'll save 20 years of your life, and you'll also save about £1 million. You'll probably even make that money on top of it when you understand these very simple rules and principles. Got you intrigued already, haven't we? And we're going to be profiling one of the biggest and most successful directors of all time. He's made some of the most exciting films of all time. Titanic, Avatar, Aliens. Who is he? Of course, the one and only James Cameron. Big, bad, bold, with a huge vision. But you've got to love his films because they're just some of the most exciting things ever to be seen on the big screen and ever to be enjoyed on next week's show. Turbocharge Your Brand TV.